That's you. What was the first song you opened with tonight? Do you know? Do you remember? At the cross, where I first, is that it? And then, sorry, I didn't mean to make it a test. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the last thing you ended up with was what? Where God makes a canyon. Right. Yeah. Well, the whole message tonight is about the cross. I didn't call him and ask him, or we'd have had that worked out better. So he had all the right answers, and it wouldn't have been awkward. I've got the message, but some of it doesn't have scripture with it. Some of you don't panic. I'm not going to tell you something crazy. But I love church. I love church. You love church? Aren't you glad your pastor loves church? Somebody's like, thank God he loves church. I was thinking today, though, I love church. I love the people at church. They become like family. Or, matter of fact, to be honest with you, they become family. And in a lot of cases, better than family sometimes, if you live in certain kind of situations and if you have to move far off or whatever the case may be. And the fellowship's amazing. And the food's good. You know what I'm talking about? And I think about the edification, coming to church, singing lifts you up, encourages you. Think about the teaching and the preaching, edification, strengthens you, encourages you. I love church. I do. I love all those things about it. I love the work, the things you get to do to help people. You know, I mean, you can see that somebody who comes in 1 year, maybe they're a broken person, and then you see them a year later, next year later, and next thing you know, they're leading some kind of ministry at the church. That's always good to be a part of that work. I love to, you know, like going on the mission field. I love being a part of stuff that, you know, you get to be a tangible. Teach a class, preach a sermon, lead a song, right? Oh, that's good. Good work. But if the cross did not exist, I would not want to be a part of the church. Not for all that. If there was no cross, then all that stuff would be useless to me. We might as well open up like the YMCA or a civil place to be coming to, and we'd do great works, and maybe like the Rotary Club. Not knocking the Rotary Club. Please don't come at me with the Rotary Club. But we are not the Rotary Club. The only reason we do all those things is because we all came to a place called Calvary, where Jesus, where God, became a man and died for our sins. And that we put our trust and faith in Him. We believed in who He was, and then He put His Spirit in us, and all those things together. So if all those things are there, or if all those things dissolve, I still have Jesus at the cross. Amen? That's why I love church most. Oh, I can lose everything else. I can have it or I don't have it. But if I have Jesus, we're good. Amen? That's what I wanted to say that. I could have went to a bunch of scriptures and told you that, but I always want to tell you that from my heart. Amen? Because sometimes we get caught up in what's going on at church, but we need to remember why we're at church. It's because we got saved by Jesus dying on a cross. And sometimes we can just forget it. We get caught up in all the stuff, political stuff at church, the actions of church, the things that we're going to do and the things we can't do, and somebody's aggravating, somebody's doing it. But literally, when you come right down to it, we're all saved by grace, by what Jesus did at Calvary. And man, we should just every once in a while just say, thank you for letting us in. Amen? I'm here for that reason only. Biggest reason. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. We're trying to get to verse 8. I have something I got to share with you guys. Hopefully, I'll get down to 8. That's my goal. I'm trying not to preach before I get there, but there's too much stuff I can't leave unsaid before we get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Are we all there? And it says, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Does that look familiar? That's Paul. Paul is one of the smartest people on the face of the planet as we speak. He is educated. He is a great speaker. He is a great orator. He is a great man with words. And you know what he said? I come to you not with excellency of speech. I come to you as not one knowing anything. Golly, Bob. What, you know what he's saying? I unpack myself. I will not. Let me go ahead. I want to get verse 2 in here. Listen. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Listen, what happened back in this days, the Greeks and the Hebrews and the religious elite and all these people would get together and they would debate each other on what they know. Or they would just push ideas back and forth. This is what I think God is, and this is what I think God is, and this is what I think God is. And man, they would sound so smart and so intelligent, and they would make big, I wanted to use the word pontificate. They would pontificate. They would stand up and make great orations of speech and resounding words, and they would absolutely say nothing. It would sound so good. They would say this and this, and we believe this, and the scrolls say that. And you know, and Paul said, I come to you in one man's testimony. Jesus. This man that I could not stand, that I hated, that I had part in his crucifixion and the death of his believers, and I could not stand him. But once my eyes were opened, I understand that he was God. I can't tell you in some great orientation. I can't stand up and give you line upon line. All I can tell you is I was on my way. I was on my way one day, and I ran into God who was bigger than the sun. And He knocked me down and arrested my soul and changed me for the rest of my life. You need Jesus and Him crucified. They're like, do you not know anything else? You know what they would say to him? You are crazy. You are beside yourself. You have lost your ever-loving mind. I cannot believe you. But you know what? Every time he told it, somebody else would say, will you come tell us that same craziness? We need to hear it. Amen? I don't know what it is. Listen, I'm preaching to you. I don't know what it is. But when you tell the story about this Jesus, when you tell the testimony of Jesus Christ and your testimony mixed in together, I just want to hear it. There's something about it that works on something on the inside of me. Have you ever had that experience when you're telling somebody who doesn't know about Christ and maybe a little hard towards Christ, maybe their core is hardened towards Christ, but you keep telling them and it just wears away. It just wears away at them. I used to have friends of mine all the time. They would just, I don't want to hear about it. I don't hear about it. But they say, why are you sitting beside me then? Why are you asking? Why do you want to know? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Amen? But listen, Paul, I love this because, Paul, this is what people do still today. Did you know that? People still do this today. They do this right here. I can take you to people's houses right now, and what they would want to do is they want to sit around and talk about the Bible. They would want to push around every jot and tittle. Why this and why that? Why this? Why God do this? Why God do that? And what are the giants? And what are the Nanakums? And did the angels, did they do something to a woman back then? And they'd want to wrestle. They'd want to wrestle with you. You know what Paul said? I'm not in the wrestling business. I'm in the testimony business. I'll tell you who God is, and I'll tell you what God done in my life. And if you don't want to believe that, I got to move on down the road because there's some other people I need to tell. Amen? And I'm not gonna tell you some big swelling speech, and it ain't gonna sound perfect, because the way God does it, He takes imperfect people and He saves them and He gives them a testimony, and all I can tell you is how it happened to me. I don't know how it happened with you, but I know how it happened with me. I met a man. Matter of fact, Paul would say it like this. This is a man that I hated, a man that I wanted to destroy, and after he was dead, I wanted to destroy everybody who believed in him. He's my Savior now. Oh, never mind. That's mine. That's part of mine. I tried to tear him down, he tore me down. I tried to discount him, he discounted me. Golly, y'all help me. I tried to get rid of his name, he got rid of my name. I tried to tear his name down, he tore my name down. But then he wrote a new name. And he put my name, says he engraved my hand on the palm and said, you know what, if you're a born-again Christian, your name is engraved on the palm of God. One version said it's written. I don't care about that version. I'm just kidding. I don't like that version. I liked engraved better. Because there's one thing to write it on your palm, that might come off. But if you cut it in, amen. You got to think that's a pretty big God too, right? If all the names of the believers on the palm of his hand, oh, never mind. He knows you. Amen. Is that good? Listen, let's get into, I want to get somewhere in verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. When you read that, you go, why was Paul scared? Wasn't scared. Not scared of the world, not scared of things, not scared of his situation, not worried about this, not worried about that. He was under the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Have you ever been under the power of the Holy Ghost of God? Has the Holy Spirit of God ever been in a service where you've been and all of a sudden you are in trembling and fear and you can't even hardly talk? I mean, it's so thick. I was once in a service. I could tell you about a million of them. But I was once in a service. You probably heard me say this before. I was sitting about 3 rows back at a church. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, I heard it start on one side of the church. And one person after another person were screaming, oh my God, weeping, crying. And I said, all I knew was it was coming. I said, it was coming from over there, and it's coming this way. And I was sitting there in anticipation thinking, man, I can't wait till it jumps on me. Amen? And sure enough, the lady that was playing the piano before that was sitting right in front of me, and it jumped on her, and I was like, hallelujah. And before I could get hallelujah, it was on me. Amen? In fear and in trembling, and you can't even hardly speak. And now listen, if you're sitting here looking at me like a deer in headlights, like you don't know what I'm talking about, we're missing something. You know what we should be begging for? More services like that. Because you know what that says? God's taking over. We don't need a man to do anything. We don't need a singer. We don't need a preacher. We don't need a teacher. All we need to do is sit back and let God be God. That's what's happening in a lot of our churches today. We don't let God be God. We've got it so, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we're going to get out of here. Listen, we need to get past trying to get out, and we try to get in, Him. Because if we get in Him, then we go out of here. Man, somebody will say, they've been with the Lord. They've been with the Lord. Paul said, I in myself could speak for hours. But when God gets on me, I am a wreck to listen to. But you can tell that I'm talking with God. You can tell, listen, if you wait on the Spirit of God and it gets on you, you don't have to. Man, have you ever been around somebody trying to talk when God's on them? You don't even have, it don't even matter what they're saying. There are some people, I know God gets on them, and I let them do stuff because of that. Golly, y'all don't even. You just, will you pray? Will you speak? Will you say something? Yeah, why? Because when you do, you're speaking for God. Can't even get 2 words outside. Never mind. Just keep pressing and pressing. And when I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. I should have read that verse first because that's exactly what I just said. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Lord, help us. We need to make that one of our very, very, very true verses. It scares me to death when somebody says, you're the reason I come to that church. You're the reason I'm there. My God, stop it. You're putting me in danger. You are. You're setting me up for failure. You say, why is that, brother? Because guess what? If I become God to you, then guess what? God will knock me down to prove that I am not God. I am not your God. I'm not her God, and I'm not my kid's God. I tell them all the time, and when you put me in that status and you're going to live vicariously through me to God, forget it. God will knock me flat down on the ground where you'll have to see God himself. So do me a favor. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and go and stay and be in where he wants you to be because you're in love with him. And if you want me to be the pastor, if you desire me, pray for me. God, just let him preach. Just let him preach what you want him to preach. And God, if he's here, thank God. And if he's not, thank God. Well, I know that's mature thinking, but praise God, is it right? That's all that matters. Is it right? Hey, there ain't nobody loves preaching more than I do. If they are, I'd like to meet them. I love to preach. It's like breathing to me. But praise God, I'm not God. I'm not the reason. Tomorrow, Lord help us, if I was gone, somebody else is coming. Amen? Trust in God. Trust in God. Howbeit, I told you I was trying to get to verse 8. We've already preached. How long? Don't nobody answer that. Howbeit, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Have you felt in 2019 like when you're talking about God and you're talking about what's right, then when you listen to the rest of the world, you feel like you're somewhere else talking about something else, that everybody else is on a different line than your own? Do you understand what I'm saying? When you mention something that's right, and then you hear the world and it says it's wrong, and when you think something's going, all right, this is just a common sense thing, no brainer, it's evil, and this is right. You're like, and you're sitting here going, wait a minute, I'm going to heaven. I know this book is right. I know God is right. His spirit is leading me, but everywhere I go, the wisdom of this world is contrary to the wisdom of God. And it's baffling. I believe I know it's going to get worse, but man, just in the last few years, everything has just turned upside down. Right is wrong and wrong is right. And you feel it because you'll say something and you'll look around and you'll go, was I supposed to say that? I mean, let me just give you this one, and I'm not going to get all crazy, but I'll just give you one. Man, I love America. It's a great country. Now you got to look around. Was that a true statement? Amen? Is that a true statement? A lot of people tell you, no, that ain't. We ain't a great country at all. Right? Man, you could set that in 73, 83, 93, and 2003, and everybody say, you're right. That's just one thing. That's just one thing. Just one little drop in a bucket. Amen? Things have changed. Listen, though. Verse 8, this is the whole reason I came to preach, the cross. Which none of the princes, man, I love this. Golly, thank you, Jesus. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had known it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I tried to find, man, I said, God, give me the word to put this together. Listen, you know what he said? If the world had knew how cool, if the Lord had knew God's plan from the beginning, they would have never. If Satan really had understood what God was doing since the beginning of the world, before it, he would have never crucified Jesus. Y'all ain't going to get this because I see the way I set that up a second ago, it's kind of going a little contrary. Because see, right now we're living in a time where right is wrong, wrong is right, upside down world, right? And it seems like we are failing and going under and it's not going to, nothing good's happening. That is opposite. Jesus said, when it's just like that, when it's darkest, I'm coming back. When it seems like there's no hope, that's when hope's coming. Oh my God. See, listen, it went all the way. See, he went there because he went like this. He said, if they would have known what they were doing, they would not have crucified the Lord. I believe there was some telltale signs at the crucifixion. If the world would have known what they were doing, if Satan and his angels would have knew what they were doing, they would have stopped the crucifixion, tried to resuscitate Christ and get him to live. Y'all think I'm crazy. But there was a soldier. And he was standing by the cross and he seen everything that was going on. And the temple rent and the earth shook. And he looked and he said, I think it's in Matthew 27. He looks and he says, surely. You hear me? No, listen, let me break it down this way. The reason they crucify people back in the day, the reason they crucified people was a deterrent. Got it? They would hang you outside the city on a crucifixion. It was a long, slow, painful death. And a lot of times they left you hanging up there and they usually put what you did wrong on the top of your thing. Where what? Hello, what, for what reason would they put it on a thief, a liar, a murderer, the king of the Jews, where you will not do that? Amen. Are you good? If you're walking to the city streets of Jerusalem, and right outside of Jerusalem, you looked up, and there's three bodies hanging there, and it says, one of them says Steve, the other one says Steve, and the other one says Son of God, or the Messiah, or the King of the Jews. The last thing you're going to do is put your trust and faith in that guy, right? Because if you do, you can end up in the same shape he's in. If you steal stuff, you'll be in the same shape those guys are in. So whatever you do, don't do what those three guys were doing. God, I wish y'all would let me preach tonight. I so wished you would. Somebody must be in a hurry to go home. Listen to this. I want you to hear this. You know what? There was a man who was crucifying Christ. No, he was a part of the work. He was brutally beating, brutally cursing, brutally ready for him to die. It was his job to make sure he was an executor. He was an executioner of people. And somewhere in the midst of that, he looked and said, that's my Savior. A Roman soldier who's so desensitized, murder is nothing. It's a job. The devil should have heard. Wait a minute. That's a guy who literally that's the last person that should be getting saved, but he's getting saved at God's Calvary because guess what? Even at the crucifixion, he recognized. He looked up and said, you know what? I need that. I need everything he is and everything I've witnessed. I believe he's Jesus. The devil and everybody, the whole world should have said, man, we have done the wrong thing. We're trying to kill him, and it's already busting loose. No, y'all didn't hear what I said. We're trying to kill this movement, and it's already busting at the seams. You know what I'm saying? If we kill Christ, it's over. There's already a Gentile getting saved at the cross. There's a Roman soldier sitting there going, you know who this is? Amen? There's a thief on the right. I know y'all have heard me write it down. Oh, you've preached this 100 times. I'll keep preaching it until the day that I die. I'll keep talking about these thieves on the cross until I can't breathe. There was one on the cross and he looked over. His last shot, last chance. You know what he said? Save me. Save us. Get us down from here. He had his one last shot to get saved. He didn't get saved. There's a million, trillion people that's happening to today. There's a lot of people going to bust hell wide open, and their last request was, I wish God would quit coming after me. God, quit sending people to bother me about church, about salvation, about mercy, about grace, about love. I wish they'd just leave me alone, and one day he will leave you alone. And there's one thief on the cross, y'all have heard me preach about it a million times, who said, you know what? Last shot. They should have knew. Every devil in hell should have knew when he looked over and said, hey, remember me when you come into your kingdom. They should have knew right there, let's cut this whole thing off. We're not killing this thing. We're making it spread. We can almost understand the soldier. He can run away. That guy ain't going nowhere. He's getting saved too. He's getting saved too. Amen? He's getting saved too. Then there's a man who's not even there. There's a man that's not even there. Yeah, preach this also. You know what his name is? Barabbas. Where's Barabbas at? Who knows where Barabbas is? Son of a man. That's what Barabbas' name means. Son of a man. That's a pretty generic name, ain't it? That is a pretty generic name. When he was born, his dad by unction said, what are we going to call him? Well, let's call him Jim Brown. Hey, man, never mind. Right? That's the most, one of the most generic names you can give somebody. John Brown, you know? Jim Brown, whichever. Amen? All right? So guess what? Look, they put his name down. Son of a man. The doctor said, do you know that you named him literally? This is the son of a man? I mean, goodness gracious, he could be the son of any man. His name is what it is. Golly, I'd like to preach this whole thing. Barabbas' whole life, just in the mix of people. Whose boy is that? I don't know. He's just a boy in the mix. He could be anybody. Just as generic as you can be. God knew one day he'd be in the midst of getting hung on a cross. And guess what? A murderer, a man of sedition. Guess what? They got him up on there and they said, who do you want to set free, Barabbas or Jesus? I guarantee you. He was sitting there going, there ain't no way. They're not going to let. This guy has healed the lame, opened the blinded eye, opened the deaf ear, raised the dead, preached the gospel, fed 5,000, fed 4,000. There is no way. And people started screaming, Barabbas! Barabbas! Let Barabbas go! He's walking down through there, a free man, while Jesus takes his spot on the cross. So we come to the fifth man, Jesus. What is he doing on the cross? This doesn't make any sense. God lifted up on a cross between heaven and earth on a tree, dying for your sins and mine. That don't make any sense. Why did he get in this circumstance? Well, I'd done a little research and a little study, and I started thinking about it. And the help of some study and Tony Evans, write it down, Tony Evans, I got this little bit of help from Tony Evans as well, heard a message. He started talking about separation. See, when Adam came to the tree, and he said, the day that you eat of this fruit, Genesis 2:17, the day you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. Well, he said, you know what death is? From now on, stop just thinking of death as death, like you just died. Think about it in about three different ways of separation. Death, all death is separation. And I started thinking, man, death is separation. What does it separate? First, the first thing that happened in the garden, they took that fruit. They were separated, God from man. They had never had a separation. Adam and God were never separated until he took of that fruit. Amen? Body and spirit. Body and spirit. When you die, all it is a separation from your body and your spirit. Your spirit will live forever. Your body will go into the ground and decay until the day of resurrection, if you're a believer. Amen? And this last one, heaven and hell. Heaven and hell. It's just death in many forms of separation. So what'd God do? What'd Jesus do? He came and got on a cross where God and man can be rejoined. He brought the separation back together. Amen? Whew. Man, all he did was say, look, there's a separation between you and God. And guess what? The only way I can meet that separation is die for you on a cross. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to void that separation. So when you die, you can be. No. While you live, you and God can be together by way of the Holy Spirit. My God. Do y'all ever get happy? I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, this stuff makes me happy. He broke the separation that Adam brought. He brought in. We're joined with God. Body and spirit. Yeah. When you die now, yep, your spirit, it goes to live with God. Your body goes in the ground. But guess what? Because he died and because he was resurrected into a new bodily form, guess what? When the trump sounds, guess what happens? The separation ends. God, have y'all ever read Thessalonians? He said, those that died or sleep, they will raise first. They get that 6-foot head start. Amen. And those that us remain are called up in a twinkling of an eye. And then we will all be transformed. No more separation. That new body, that old man, that spirit and body will come to go, poof, and there we'll be in the presence of God. Separation of heaven and hell, another death. Sin separates us from God. Guess what? Jesus said, there needs to be no separation. I'll go into the ground for 3 days. I will preach to the spirits that are in captivity. And guess what? I will break the bondage of separation from God. You will not spend eternity in hell. If you're a believer in me, guess what? You and I will reign in glory forever. All the separation that happened with Adam was done away with by Jesus at Calvary for you and for me. Glory to God. If the devil knew what he was doing, he should have stopped that operation at Calvary. But you know what? He couldn't. When Jesus said it was finished, he was saying, you know what? In my obedience, I have made a way for God to never be separated from people and people to never be separated from God in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Let's all stand.